Today, my guest is DJ Peterson, who is president of Longview Global Advisors. Welcome to the podcast, DJ.
Thanks, Rutger. Great to be with you.
Now, DJ, why do you do what you do?
Well, at core, I'm a political scientist, and I'm curious about the world. So I want to have an independent, I've always wanted to have an independent view of what is going on in the world and why. So for instance, I was in college in the early 80s, the depths of the Cold War. There was all this stuff going on with the Soviet Union. Ronald Reagan was in office in the United States. And I was thinking about, where did I want to go to study abroad? And people were going to France and England and Italy. And I saw this poster about the Soviet Union. And I'm like, wow. I want to go there. I want to understand the Soviet Union. I want to have my own independent view. So I learned Russian and went and studied in Moscow, one of a handful of American students that could actually go to the Soviet Union and study. And what I learned by being there was, it wasn't the greatest power in the world. The economy was crumbling. And also people were like Americans in many ways and getting on with their lives. So this idea of just forming my own independent view, objective, that is based in facts and research and knowledge. I'm a researcher. I love to, dig into the data and then bring that to clients. And I typically work with CEOs and presidents of global firms who have to understand the world. And they often don't have the time. And I service their brain. They come to me with great questions. I'm going to France. I'm meeting the president of France. I'm speaking on innovation. What do I need to know? I'm going to Russia. I'm meeting the president of China. I'm going to be in a room with CEOs. What should I say? So really just great questions that are also in a way very personal. And I just love digging in to this connection between the personal, the business, and the world. Every day I wake up and I have a new question, a new challenge to address, whether it's from a client or whether it's from a global leader.
So your why is actually why. You are curious about why. That's interesting.
Thanks for saying that. You're the first person to actually phrase it that way. But yes, that is really my core. I love it. I love it.
You ask a lot of why questions and then help other people answer those questions. So what does that look like when you talk to the people that you talk to, the people you work with? So you help them answer questions, but explain a little bit more how that works.
Yes. So first of all, my clients, in financial services, they tend to travel the world. They have clients all over the world. They're meeting with regulators around the world. They're meeting with their people around the world. They're meeting with policymakers and political leaders. They're speaking at Davos at conferences. They're on CNBC and they're being interviewed. And they're always being asked, well, what's your point of view on the government change, the collapse of the government in France, the resignation of the prime minister in Japan? If you go to Japan and you're a business leader, the Japanese business community is going to ask you, what do you think about the United States? To help us understand the United States, what's your point of view on U.S.-China relations? What's your point of view on South Korea, the Pacific region? And what business leaders are typically trained to do is talk about the business. They've got PR teams that help them get on the media. They help them hammer the questions about the company. But oftentimes we work with leaders who are curious, who are interested, who want to be seen not just as a leader, of a spreadsheet or a quarterly report, but a leader of a global business. And so I've had one client say, I'm their brain. I've had another one call me their knowledge coach. So if they're speaking, we help them understand the context in what they're speaking, not just give them talking points, but if you're at Davos next year, what is the gestalt? What is the mood in the room? What are other people going to be saying? What if you're meeting the prime minister of India? You can say you're the best company in the world and you've got the best products, but Prime Minister Modi wants to know what you're going to do for India. And what are you going to do for his policy agenda, innovation, employing people in small towns, and his infrastructure build out? What are you going to bring to India? And that requires a bigger view. So I say we help executives talk about the world, not just the business. And it can be travel or media related or events related.
Now, when that goes well, what's the feedback that they give you?
Well, they connected. Mm-hmm. They actually had a positive impact, and a positive impact that just goes beyond, you know, making a good business pitch, right? Yeah. If you think about some of the top leaders in finance and banking, they have a broader view and they're able to connect and really shape the world. So it's closing deals, but at a much higher level. It's also about, frankly, avoiding mistakes.
Right.
Don't talk about this.
Yeah.
Avoid this issue. This was years ago, but I had a CEO client who had a sit down with President Putin.
Yeah.
And he was going to talk about the company's diversity agenda. And I'm like, do not talk about that with Putin. It's going, he does not want to hear about diversity. He said, thank you very much for telling me that. You know, a lot of times in a company, especially a big company, CEOs are up there at the top by themselves. They don't have people coaching them or challenging them. I have one client who's a CEO, and he just wants to get on the phone and trial his ideas. He says, I'm seeing this, I'm seeing that. And he has nobody in the firm to really test these ideas or anybody to challenge him. And so he just wants to talk. And he's like, did I get this right? So another example, I have a client, financial services and real estate. He's seeing transactions all the time. He's seeing interesting trends in media, in sports, in urban development, in back to work issues. And he just didn't have the ability, the time, or the people to help him put together. And so he would just sit down with me for an hour every month. And I'd say, what are you seeing? What's capturing your attention?
Yep.
And he would just go on. And then I would bring in research and data, including from his own firm, that backed this up, outside data, and we created a blog post. And that really elevated his brand, which also elevated the brand of the company. It also served, like, he could then do a speaking event. His whole thinking was structured, and he had the confidence to talk about these bigger issues when he was speaking to the media or speaking in public or speaking in front of his own people in the firm. And it just became, for him, much more natural. And he was just confident that he could take all these anecdotes and put it together and tell a really powerful story. And he called me his brain. He said nobody else could do this in the firm for him.
So you're a brain to your client, you're a sparring partner, you help them what to say and what not to say. That sounds really helpful.
Yeah, I would say I was trained.
Now, I like to do this thing called futures thinking. We don't know what the future is going to bring. We don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow, but we can think about what a possible future could look like. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on what could a possible future look like.
Okay, so again, one of the things I do is I like to kind of frame things and then can take the information and run with it. And what I'm going to say is you can't think out 10 years. I am sorry. In this world, in my world of politics, society, economics, technology, when I see 10-year forecasts, I'm just like, it's not useful. It's not helpful. And I'll tell you why. One, our business is changing so fast. And what I do, I can't even tell you how people like me, researchers, are going to be working in 2 to 3 years. I can give you some ideas, and there are ideas out there. But I think right now, a 2 to 3 year horizon is realistic. I'll give you another reason why.
Yeah.
We have Donald Trump in office. He's got a three plus year horizon. He is so changing the business environment, the economic environment, the social environment, the political environment in the United States, let alone with the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And so right now, what I am focused on and what I see my clients needing is really like, help us with the now and then a few years out. So to answer your question, AI really is going to change radically. And it's not just this issue of augmenting. Right now, AI with me and my team, we use it to really speed up our work. Yeah. Okay. And that's the big debate. Is it an augmenter or is it actually transformational? And I would argue, certainly in 10 years, I'm probably going to be a bot. And you're going to have a rich conversation with a machine. So I can't even possibly imagine what my business looks like other than talking to a machine. Just imagine I'm an avatar. It's very much Star Trek and you're talking to the computer and you're having a very human connection. So that's one. The second is, which I think is the same today, is this idea of information overload. What data can you trust? That you're going to need help sifting, and because of the proliferation of AI and technology and data and literally words, you're still going to need the ability, like a trusted advisor. Now, whether that's a human or a machine, we'll see. But certainly in the next 2 to 3 years, really shaping an opinion around the world, around data, having somebody you can trust, I think is going to be really important. One of the things I'm seeing right now, and I think this is very important for banking, is that economic thinking, mainstream economic thinking around inflation, around unemployment or employment has been really off base, certainly since the pandemic. Economists have been constantly getting it wrong.
Yeah.
At the same time, you have Donald Trump and other populists really challenging the basis of kind of core fundamental economics, market economics. So you see this around the Fed, like, let's change the rules and we'll see what happens with the economy. So I think really understanding the impact of politics on economics and actually things that are very off base or, you know, fake news, really navigating that is going to be so important in the coming 2 to 3 years. I can't even tell you what the information environment is going to be like in 10 years.
Right. Now, given that future that you see us going to, what can we do today to get ready for that? How do we get ready for that possible future?
Great question. So one is literally to open your mind. I think part of this is expanding your horizon of data points. So again, I go back to the political. You can't understand the U.S. economy and the trajectory of the U.S. economy and where it's going if you really don't understand the political pressures or the drivers on the system. All right.
Right.
Again, this gets to very core institutions like Fed policy or data collection in the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Yep.
But it also gets to things like the role of Congress in setting tariffs and setting economic policy. We're going down a track which is very different from the past. What are the role of institutions such as the World Trade Organization, or if you're in the health arena, the World Health Organization or the FDA? You really have to understand the policy environment to understand where your business is going or where the market is going. So I say expand the horizon. I would also include things like social trends. One of the things that is so driving the political environment in the United States, obviously one is social media and polarization. We've heard about that. But a lot of that is also economic inequality and the grassroots, and businesses and business leaders can be floating above in the cloud, so to speak, and thinking, you know, this was a technology arena. They tech companies thought they could just be in the cloud and be stateless. And it's like, oh no, China has the government in Beijing has a very strong opinion about what you can and can't do. That's happening now in the United States. It's certainly happening in Europe. So understanding the politics of your business, understanding the social drivers, and of course, understanding the technology and innovation drivers.
Yeah.
That's what I would suggest. Broaden your horizon, get a wider point of view, broader scenarios, more extremes. Right?
So broaden your horizon, make sure that you have different data sets, and potentially have a trusted advisor that you can spar with.
A good board of directors does this, but a lot of boards don't. And be curious and ask the why. Ask the why, Rutger.
And that's probably the perfect place to wrap this up on. Thank you very much, DJ, for being on the podcast.
I enjoy it, and I enjoy your work, Rutger. Thank you very much.
Perfect. And until next time, choose to be curious.